8 o'clock on the dot till now, 8:01. Nailed it. Monday morning. Happy New Year's Eve to you. Best part of the season from the 816. Best thing of this Chiefs season is having Dusty and Mac on the morning show. Love Klingler, but the level of fun has increased in the AM.
Oh, that's Thank nice. You. It's very nice.
Thank you very much, 816. Level of fun. I did have somebody tell me, like, dude, I don't know what you're on. I'm sure there's times I come in here and Mac's like, dude, I don't know what this guy's on. I give you a shot of it. He's, you know, little capsule of blood. You'll be there, man.
I don't know if I want to be there.
Okay.
No, you wake me up with your silliness.
Yeah, it right when we get in the door, man. Like I'm like literally like white knuckled on my steering wheel, like coming in. I'm like, okay.
I was this morning too, though. I was ready, man.
Yeah, yeah. Champing at the bit.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Champing. I don't know.
It's champing.
Okay, thank you.
That one guy that knows everything in the room. Mm. He told me that.
Gotcha.
He had a full on like you know experience when I said it. Because it was one of those, before I knew the thanks coach thing existed, I said chomping at the bit, and the text line was like, to be fair, it is considered, it's naturally champing, because chomping is the act of chewing.
Oh, here we go.
Right? Somebody says, put the cocaine, come on, man.
Hey!
37, I can't do that. End up dead, man.
It's too early.
O'Minihue coming back, best part of the season. But no, I said it, and he just goes, I'm not kidding, Mac. You know what I'm talking about. He literally stood up and was like, thank you. Gave me an applause. And he's like, finally, somebody gets it right. It's champion. And I just like rolled my eyes and I was like, okay.
All righty.
All right. So never saying that again. So Joe Tooney's pretty good.
Dude.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Solidified.
I think if it wasn't already, this season has to go into the accolades book.
Yeah.
And it might be number one. You can put all your All-Pros, put all your Pro Bowls, all that stuff. You know, amount of snaps played consecutively. Joe Tooney had a great record on that for a while. All those should be. But at the top, above that, his number one accolade should be filling in at left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs in the midst of a three-peat run on their way to a 15-1 season that previously had the worst left tackle play that he has now resurrected into above-average left tackle play in the midst of playing the best pass rushers in the span of 3 weeks. It's a long accolade, but that's what it would be at the top of his accolade list. This has been extremely impressive. It cannot be spoken on enough how amazing what Joe Tooney is doing right now.
Yeah, look, there's no secret as to why Mahomes has looked better. Because he knows now. He's I'm fine over here.
Yep. I'm safe.
And he's had plenty of tests, right? He's had Myles Garrett. He's had Will Anderson Jr., Pittsburgh's defensive line that is
Alex Highsmith, TJ right. Watt, all those guys. Yes.
And the other thing too is that like it's quiet. It's very, you know, it's very just there. Like before, it was like, all right, here we go. And then now it's like, oh, we got to shift over to right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And to me, it's the obvious elephant in the room that if your blind side is protected, you're comfortable. Deep pass got completed on Christmas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Mahomes threw for, what, 320 and three touchdowns? Mahomes has not thrown an interception since the Buffalo game. Believe it or not, since week 11. That's the last time he threw an interception. And he threw two. One was a Hail Mary at the end or a heave at the very end.
Yeah, desperation.
So take that away.
Doesn't even count.
So one interception.
Yep.
Since week 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been clean. Now, I know that Joe Tooney didn't come in week 11. He came in week 15. But in the toughest stretch of the season, and maybe the toughest ask that you can have of him, he's shown up. And in 11 days, they go 3-0, and it's no secret the left side of the line is a reason why they're separating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They beat two playoff teams, and they beat one of those teams on the road in a tough environment, whether you're, believe it or not, the terrible towels, all that in Pittsburgh, Christmas Day, everybody's juiced up, took the juice out of the room immediately.
It's the constant hindrance on your offense that is kind of withheld you from being able to unload your playbook and say, okay, we're going to do this with Hollywood now that he's been back. Okay, now we can put Xavier in these situations. Travis, you're going to run this little option route, little choice route, takes an extra. Now, instead of having to worry about, oh, well, we can't actually do that. We got a chip over here and I don't know, play action. It's going to be a long 7-step drop for Mahomes. I don't think he's going to have the time. Now you can say, okay, you know what? Whole playbook's open because they actually have someone comparable on the left side, and honestly, above comparable. Joe Tooney, you know, in that first game against Myles Garrett, we came back after that Browns game. I was a little bit skeptical, didn't really love it. He was pressured, you know, almost 20% of his dropbacks, Patrick Mahomes was. No sacks, but really he was getting hit. He was getting pressured. He was running for his life. Mm-hmm. Didn't know if Joe Tooney was going to be the answer. These last two games, it's looked like he hasn't missed having someone on his left side. He is that left side. I don't know, and I asked the text line, 913-586-7965, what you guys think. I don't know, Dusty. I think DJ Humphreys plays week 18. He's one of those guys that gets in if he's healthy and ready to go against the Broncos. Mm. If he plays well, I mean, what do you do? Do you start him or do you just stick with what's worked?
I think you stick with what worked. And then maybe you put Humphreys at left guard.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, again, Caliendo's been good.
Yeah.
Or what's the common saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, keep it the way it's going. I mean, again, 77-36 in the last three games that they played in 11 days. It used to be 10, then it changed to 11 overnight. 77-36 is what you've done to your opponents. Browns, Steelers, and Houston. Those aren't like your stepdad's defenses.
No.
Those are defenses that are decently good.
Yes.
Right? I know the Browns or whatever, but that Schwartz defense last year was number one.
Yes, number one or number two, depending on where your
Chiefs were in total points, yep. All that. It's not like they fell completely off this year, right? Like, I know Jameis didn't help them. That's why he doesn't play quarterback for them right now, because he turned the ball over. Not a lot of that is on your defense. That's tough to ask.
Yeah.
Hey, we just turned the ball over again. I know you're just on the field for 7.5 minutes. Go out there. Good luck. It's Patrick Mahomes. Houston's defense, same thing. Great defensive line. Gamblers in the secondary. Pittsburgh's defense. That's what keeps them in games.
Same with Houston, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's what keeps them there.
Yeah.
Is their defense. And the Chiefs outscored those three opponents 77-36.
And more specifically, to your point,
didn't throw an interception.
Didn't throw a pick.
One sack.
Got sacked once. Barely got pressured.
Yeah.
Did whatever they wanted to. Run the football a little bit less against Pittsburgh, but didn't really need to. Ran the football when they had to against Houston and against Cleveland. But to your point, those defenses not only are a lot of those teams' identities and the way they win games is getting after the quarterback. And the fact that Joe Tooney was able to stop them from doing that 2 weeks in a row, yeah, I think I'm kind of with you. You know, I think you play DJ Humphreys week 18. Now, if he looks impeccable against what is another really good defense in Denver, you know, yeah. Nick Benito is going to be top five on DPOY odds, a guy that a lot of us probably didn't know at the beginning of the season, but he's got two touchdowns. He's got a hell of a lot of sacks. He's a great pass rusher. If he looks great against Benito and company, I'd consider it. You got 2 weeks to work out and practice, so maybe you look through some different looks. But I kind of agree with you. I mean, you've run out of time, right? Like, we're here. You've got practice, but as far as game time, you've got week 18, and that's not really a lot. I think your run-up track that was meant for DJ Humphreys obviously got sidetracked because of the injury, and I think now you've got to go with what you have, and that is Joe Tooney. And, man, I would have told you a few weeks ago that's not that good. It looks pretty damn good.
Right. This is from T-Money, a.k.a. Troy. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Tooney's your left tackle. Humphreys is a backup. They're playing their best football. Don't try to overthink it. Yeah. I don't hate that take.
Yeah.
I mean, you know?
Yeah.
But again, yeah, sure. Okay, fine. Or now you just reload at right tackle all playoff long, right? You're just like, hey, Humphreys, Wanye,
Juwan,
best guy game. Best game that guy's having, that guy's playing until you piss me off and you're done.
I love it.
Then you just load up on right tackle.
Yeah.
Keep the left side the same. Let Trey and Creed do their thing. Let Caliendo do his thing. I ask you this. You talk about DJ Humphreys in the last game of the season. Does Hollywood Brown play at all?
Gosh.
Because I don't need to see anything else.
I'm good.
Because what's he going to accomplish with Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
Maybe a route?
Yeah,
maybe
some routes.
Some
hand signals.
Physical, some reps. Yeah. But dude looks good.
He looks great. And that's what's great. He's been running.
It's not like his legs or anything.
No, he's been sprinting. He's been cutting. He's fresh. Yeah, I honestly kind of agree with you. If Mahomes isn't out there, so that connection wouldn't be growing. No reason for me to see Hollywood Brown. I don't know reason for me to see, and we'll get into this obviously as the week goes. I mean, Chris Jones, Mahomes, Kelsey, Joe Tooney.
Does the entire offensive line sit out? Minus Wanye? Or, I mean, maybe Juwan doesn't?
Yeah, I want Juwan to play.
So that's got to be brutal. Hey, everybody's got the day off but you. Oh.
Damn.
You didn't get the invite. I guess they got lost in the mail.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Man, that's kind of mean. But I don't know if he really deserves this. I mean, we talked about all season. We've gotten to focus on left tackle. That has been a savior for Juwan Taylor, because if not, we would have been killing him this season. He has not been up to par.
No. And
4 penalties on Christmas.
Oof. It was back to that.
It was bad, bro.
Illegal formation. Yep. 74. Offense.
When my fiance is going, why? Who's 74?
That's
right. When that's happening, that is bad. Yeah, it's like it's always 74.
It's funny. Rust or rest? What does it mean? What does it do? We'll talk about it. Plus, I've got a little bit of an analogy of what I think it could. Maybe if you're in the same realm as Mac and I, or maybe not, that I can explain the best I can. Rust or rest? It's on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Funny headline on the television right now. It says, what did we learn in week 17 on Good Morning Football? If Peter Schrager doesn't say, I'm a simpleton, I don't need to hear it.
I just really think Buffalo is a good team. I think they could really get it done this year. And then the Chiefs win the one seed, and immediately, this is what greatness looks like in football. Kiss my ass. Seriously. I mean, it's like, dude, you were there. You were the guy on that show. God bless Kay Adams. She was a Cincinnati fan.
No doubt.
Kyle Brandt was a Buffalo fan. Whoever else would fill in. And Peter Schrager was the guy. He's like, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. He was just taking, like, everybody's Kansas City tweets that were here and thinking about it and then throwing it out there. You're like, well, I don't hate the guy because at least he's giving us credit and he's telling us that we're right. And then
Buffalo just seems like a team this year that I think is really going to do it. And I just, Josh Allen. And the Chiefs, just, there's a lot of question marks for the Chiefs. What? This is one of the best teams we've ever seen in our entire life, is Kansas City Chiefs. It's crazy. They just do it.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
Just crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good Peter Schrager or not, but it's close to I can
no,
do.
No, I mean, it's good. It's there.
I mean, he just, yeah. He reminds me of Neil from the Santa Claus.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
He didn't get a weenie whistle for Christmas, so the belief was gone.
Uh-huh. It's all gone.
Yeah. Everybody else is, Neil. And it's just, yeah, that's who he reminds me of, Neil. Or the stepdad in Liar, Liar. I don't know if you've seen that one or not. It's
a
Jim Carrey flick, and he does this thing called the claw. And then the stepdad tries to imitate it, and he's like, it's the claw, and he uses like a finger. And it's just like, stop, it's cringe.
Cringe,
yeah.
Damn.
Big cringe. Yeah. And yet here's this guy.
I think that with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, this team can go far. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No dip.
I guess it wasn't the Philadelphia one, the San Francisco one, the San Francisco one times two. 15 freaking wins in one season. A lot of questions. Oh, they had to secure the one seed at the end of the year, which now gives them 3 weeks off. Your next meaningful Chiefs game will be January 18th or 19th. Do you prefer playoff Saturday or playoff Sunday, by the way? Give me Saturday. Could be worth
yeah, playoff Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go hard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, which is interesting because, like, you would think that if they play Saturday, that game's a 7:25 start.
Right? It has to be the Saturday night.
Right.
Yeah.
Standalone.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll all be standalone. Well, maybe not. But, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they'll be
Sunday, if that game gets played, that game's at noon.
Yep.
Right? That January 19th game, that'd be a noon start.
No way they'll stick the Chiefs at noon.
No? You think they'll go Sunday night? Sunday night football?
I think they'll be prime time.
Okay. I think they'd put them at noon.
You do?
If they play Saturday or Sunday. I think they play Saturday. You're looking at definitely not noon on Saturday. No way.
Yeah, they usually do 3 and
3:25 is tough.
They usually do the 3 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, like 3:30, 7:30. They're playing Saturday. If they play Saturday, they're playing Saturday night. And I will turn my phone off.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll get hateful if they go out there and just whip ass.
Whew.
But there's a lot of time between that game and the next.
A lot of time.
And you bring up the rest or rust case, which is fine. Not Russ, rust.
Yeah. Danger Russ.
Ugh.
Talk about cringe.
Mm-hmm. It's spicy. Russell Wilson. No, look, I think, in the best way that I can explain it, you remember when you're in college and you'd have like that Thanksgiving break You'd have like the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but then you were back Monday. But you knew that Christmas break was right around the corner.
Yep.
And you were excited for it. You knew it was there. You've worked so hard to get this time off.
Do your finals,
right?
Study.
Everything's ramped up in like 11 days. Weird. You know, presentations, finals, all that. And like the final 11 days of the semester. And then you get on your break. And you're like, all right, I'm going home. My old bed. Mom and dad's fridge.
Oh, yeah.
All the food I want. I can sleep in until noon. I can be the world's biggest POS.
Don't have to do my laundry.
But after about a week and a half, you're kind of ready to get back to your dorm room or your apartment or your house in college or whatever it was you were. Because you're like, you know what? This was great, but I'm ready to get back. I'm ready to get after it. You know, the first couple of nights, you meet up with your buddies, mm-hmm. you go to their house, you stay the night, you have a good time. Next day, you wake up, you eat a late lunch, you go out and maybe hang out with, you know, a lady friend or your friends again. And then by the time the second week gets of your break, by that Wednesday or Thursday, you're like, I'm actually kind of ready to get back at it. Similar to this Chiefs team, which
yeah.
you're not rusty when you take that time off from college, but you're, I guess, the daily grind is different. Like, you don't have video to watch on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have this. But by the time it's like end of the second week, you're like, all right, going back on the other side, we have mass communications.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, sound engineering. We've got, you know, we got to do this college algebra class. And then we got, but you know what's coming and you're preparing yourself for it. But it's not like you just forgot how to be a student or you forgot how to do your college mm-hmm. rhythm. Now, you're waking up early again, but I didn't wake up at 4 o'clock every day for the last 5 days, but I'm here. I might be a little rusty. I don't think I am, but
sound
like,
great.
But thank you. But like when you don't do something that you're really good at for a while, you're really excited to get back and get into it. And I would say that the rust could be a conversation of worry, but this is a team whose bye week was in week six. They played more football games than any team in the NFL in the last 3 years. They're sore. Take time.
Yes.
And that's the thing. It's like Andy Reid and this team, they're not going to get distracted. You know, go home, get in bed by 10. On the weekend, go have a nice dinner with your lady. Or go have a nice dinner, you know, whatever. And then we'll see you on Tuesday. Because they're going to have this week, they'll probably all do the normal practice stuff. I get it. Like, it'll be like a normal week. And then, you know, someone will ask, hey, do you think the starters will play on Sunday? We're still kind of thinking about it. You know, some will, you know. And then you'll have the bye week. But you know Andy Reid and the coaching staff, they don't get a bye week. He'll still go to One Arrowhead Drive at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'll take all the teams that are in the playoff, and he'll take every single one and dissect them. And then when it's picture perfectly clear who they're playing, all the others go away, and the one that is there is ready. And you have a team, since the day they won their Super Bowl in back-to-back years, they were ready for this moment. There is no rust with this team for me to worry about.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you overall. I think the only difference I can say is that when they get back into work, just like when you guys got back into work this morning,
yeah.
we got to go balls to the walls.
Right.
Like you said, you're driving here, white knuckles on your steering wheel. Mm. You are ready to spout off some takes.
Windows down, yelling.
Hey, come
Nobody
on.
Nobody on the road.
Let's go. Right?
15-1. How can you hear me? Shut up, dude.
It's 4:30. Stop. But for them, they have to do that. They got to stick on some jazz music, keep the windows mm-hmm. rolled up, nice and quiet, nice and mellow for around 2 weeks, and just kind of keep that energy stored. And I know these guys are pro athletes of the best of the best. This is the best organization, not only in football, but in sports right now. So I know that they have all the answers, and I probably sound like a fool to them. But I just think my mortal self, I don't know how I'd be able to keep that energy, that adrenaline
mm-hmm.
pent up for that long, and to come out on Saturday or Sunday night, whenever it may be, ready to go at 100 without having wasted some of that gas. And I just think it's a long time. I'm excited about it. I think there are way more pros in this situation than there are cons. But some of the cons do give me some worry. But you're right. I don't think that should exist here with this team.
Yeah. And again, I know it's tiresome to say, but it's like when you look at a team that is the Kansas City Chiefs, like this is what they're known to do. This is what they're used to doing. Like, you were talking to Derek Johnson. This team's starting to click. The defense, 7 points, 19 points, 10 points. And that 19 points was a late field goal. Could have been 16. It's not, and I get it. We'll use the numbers that are there that are given to us, but they kicked a late field goal to try to have it like a one-score game, kicked the onside, didn't get it. I believe that's how the Houston game ended.
Yes.
And they were never in that game, at least in my opinion. I know that there was a time where they were leading, I think, maybe, or they were it was close. There was tied. But it that game never worried me.
The Chiefs dictated
Cleveland.
That.
Never worried me until Mahomes got hurt in the end. I'm like, what are we doing here? So I was a little angry at that.
Very frustrating.
And then Pittsburgh, from the jump, I mean, the close that game got to was 16-9. 16-10.
16-10, yeah.
And then it was just like, here's that. And that was without Chris Jones. And they were clearly running up the middle, and they were letting Russ do whatever he wanted to do.
Defense still had 5 sacks, I think, without Chris Jones.
Nasty. And it's January in 2 days. And here they are, 15-1, one seed. And again, I'm like everybody else, right? Like, you know, bye week, week 6, I would be a little more annoyed if they had had their bye week in like week 14, like they normally do. And then it's like, oh, they just got back into it. They're rolling. And then it's like, ugh, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but I mean, look, this team is always built for December to February.
Yep.
And you can say that that's a bad take. You can say that's a bad, you know, bias, homer, Chiefs red glasses. But go look at Mahomes' record in December.
Yeah.
Go look at the last 2 years and tell me I'm wrong. Last year after they got, you know, embarrassed on Christmas, they were like, all right, let's figure this out. And that was the last time they lost until this week in week 11. Now, week 11, nothing but wins. And you've beaten Carolina, Vegas, Chargers, Cleveland, Houston, Pittsburgh. A revived Carolina team looked bad this weekend.
Yeah, that's some moments. Yeah. They're Carolina, yeah.
But again, this is a team that again, it's they're not going to play a game, but even the text line said it. They're still going to practice.
Yeah.
They're still going to have their normal, you know, routine because Andy's very routine guy. Very get in a routine and then it just becomes easy, right? It's like what they tell you when you're trying to be a new year, new me. If you do it every day at 10 o'clock to work out and you just tell yourself every day at 10, your mind and your body starts to get into this, you know, it becomes easier. They're still going to have their everyday practice. They're still going to have their video. They just don't know who they're playing. But that doesn't matter. Yeah, in the regular season, they know who they're playing, but that doesn't dictate what you do with, like, normal walkthroughs and weightlifting and scrimmaging and all that. Now, when you know your opponent, obviously, then you get into the 11-on-11 in practice. But nothing still changes. You would still be like, all right, it's different this week. What are we going to do? Number one is get out there. And then, you know, they'll do their normal stuff, but maybe like a little bit less because they'll get the guys that are actually going to play more. But it's not like, you know, Carson Wentz isn't practiced all year. It's like he's unfamiliar. The only thing that comes to question is like the guys that are just now coming back, do you let them get reps? I don't think I need to see anything. I will say this about Hollywood Brown. I think you offer him a 2-year deal.
Yeah, I'm all in on that.
Now, if he takes it, I don't know. Because what he's doing and what he could show in the playoffs,
yeah,
somebody might be like, we'll give you 4.
Exactly. No, if he kills these next 3 weeks and is a massive part of this three-peat, yeah, he will go get a bag, which was his plan. It's why he came here in the first place. It got screwed up by a crappy injury on the first play of the first preseason game, but yeah, that was his plan. He's got the most important time of the season to show it with the team that will have 20-plus million people watching it for the next 4 Sundays, not counting this other one.
Oh, it's insane.
So that's good for Hollywood Brown in that facet.
Serious question. Maybe it's a little Chiefs related. Bengals or Broncos? Who do you want to see get that 7th seed? Or Miami? Because that's 3 possibilities.
Miami, I do not want to see get that 7th seed. I think Buffalo would dog walk. Miami would be absolute crap show. Would not be fun. One Buffalo to at least have some semblance of a game.
Would be cold.
It would be cold. Yeah, Buffalo doesn't care about that. That's even good for Buffalo.
I'm saying for Miami.
Oh, that's yeah, for Miami. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, exactly.
No, one in the cold last night, played Cleveland. DTR, not impressed by that, exactly. But hey, you did it. You went and played in a cold environment.
Yeah, against the worst quarterback playing right now, maybe. Yeah, I don't want Miami to do it. Personally, I want whatever is hardest for Buffalo, and that, in my opinion, is Cincinnati. Joe Burrow. If the Bengals can beat the Buffalo Bills, that is what's best for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Because then they'd play Cincinnati.
Yes.
And Arrowhead.
Yes.
And you would love that.
I would absolutely love that. It'd be fantastic. It's what this season should amount to. Week 2, trash talk, all this crap. Bengals fans on Twitter still talking about that game and that pass interference call. They still think that should have won. Let's go. Let's run it back. Absolutely. Come on.
If the Chiefs won that game, I think Drew would have to shave his head.
Yeah, exactly. What's the...
Which works for him, because then the blonde's officially gone.
Goes away.
But he's also found this new groove.
I was about to say, he kind of has something going, man.
So does Cincinnati. Just to get buzzed by the Chiefs. I ain't done.
Like it.
But yeah, I mean,
look, I mean, what do you think?
I've never been easiest route guy, but I've never been in the midst of a three-peat. So I'm kind of like, I will take this year, I will go against my normal rhetoric where I'm like, I want to beat them because I don't want any excuse. After watching this entire year, it doesn't matter what they do, some asshat's going to have an excuse for something.
Doesn't matter. Yep.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter. So I don't care.
No, the refs, it'll be something.
I don't care,
man,
if they play Houston and then they play surprise, you know, Miami gets in, works wonders, and beats Buffalo and Josh Allen.
Oh, yes.
And everyone's like, oh, now the Chiefs get to play Miami at home and it's Tyler Huntley, not Tua Tagovailoa, and Jalen Waddle's out. I don't care. They're going to the AFC Championship game. I mean, it doesn't matter this year they play, because 15-1, toughest season the NFL's ever been, most talent this league has ever seen, and I'm done with all of it. I don't. It just doesn't matter who they play.
No,
they
don't care.
They could beat Buffalo in the AFC Championship game again, and still people will be like, yeah, I don't know. Mahomes had 8 incompletions.
Exactly.
It's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Mahomes is 15-3 in the playoffs, has won 3 Super Bowls. The worst ending to a season in the Patrick Mahomes era is an overtime loss in the AFC Championship game. And still, there are mounds of NFL fans who don't believe and don't trust this team. So to your point, Dusty, I don't really give a rip about who this team has to play, because they don't care. We watched Mahomes go on the road and not throw any interceptions in 2 games against the Ravens and the Bills. Didn't matter. People are still going to talk about it. It's fake. Doesn't matter. Refs, whatever it is, there's reasons. And you know what? The people that say, oh, the Chiefs got an easy road. Yeah, get the 1 seed. Go win 15 games. Go win your division undefeated, 6-0.
Yeah.
That is why you try to get the 1 seed. I hate this. Oh, well, they got an easy road. Yeah, that's why this works.
Yeah, that's called the benefit of doing it in the regular season.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why you do it.
Yeah, we decided to leave early so we could spend more of a day on our vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, there was no traffic. Exactly.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Exactly, man. So, no, I don't think you are being Chiefs fandom when you say that this team gets it right in December through February. It is an objective fact. That is all they have done.
Yeah.
People would kill for the worst Mahomes season. An overtime loss in the AFC Championship game, people would love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come down to the wire?
If you could play anybody in the Super Bowl, who would it be? Since you like, you know... You want to beat Philadelphia?
Like, realistically,
yeah.
For the Chiefs, as far as keeping, you know, the easy route and trying to secure this three-peat, mm-hmm. I mean, it is the most unrealistic option, but I do believe, and we brought it up on here, the Rams are really damn good. Mm-hmm. They do have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. I'd say I'd have them 3 in the NFC right now. I don't know about you. Maybe 4 behind Green Bay.
Tough for them, because right now their first opponent would be the Detroit Lions.
Damn.
So we get that game again.
So they'd have to beat Detroit and Philadelphia both at That's their right. houses. Yeah.
No. Detroit's the 5 seed.
Oh, yeah.
Rams are the 4. Reseeding 101. Yeah, Detroit does this whole thing all year.
Whole thing.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you gotta go to the Los Angeles Rams house.
I'm not trying to get this off topic here.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
But with the NFC North, you brought it up. If Darnold was, and I think Carrington, this is why this brings you, Carrington tweeted about this, so stealing it from our guy over at The Drive, you can listen to from 2 to 6. He was like, if Sam Darnold, I forgot what he said, but let's just say Sam Darnold is Jalen Hurts. Let's say Sam Darnold is Trevor Lawrence, was a good example that Carrington used. Is Sam Darnold the MVP? Like, he's not even in discussion.
No, and he had a game last night.
He had a game.
What, he throw 377 and 3?
Yep, 1 interception. It was his 1 bad play. He had like 9 incompletions.
No, I'm on the, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just think that the MVP was decided by week 4. I think this is like everyone's like, yeah, it's just Josh Allen's here. By the way, if he doesn't win MVP, I have his odds. He's minus 300 right now.
Okay.
He was minus 900 mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson plus 225.
Ooh, okay.
Joe Burrow plus 1600.
Okay.
If Burrow gets in, does he get it? And he has a game. He goes out there against Pittsburgh, 350, 3 touchdowns, 27 of 32. And they get in. Is he the MVP? Because here's why. The logic of Lamar doesn't work because we don't give it back to back. Why would we? Now we're just diluting the award. That'd be Lamar's third, second in a row.
Yep, voter fatigue. Yep.
Right? Exactly. Josh Allen, according to stats, wouldn't get it because Lamar Jackson's stats are better. Joe Burrow's stats are better. Burrow doesn't win his division, but because of Joe Burrow and what he's doing at a quarterback position with Ja'Marr Chase, would he slide into that MVP category?
I think you'd have to consider it. Personally, I'd still give it to Josh Allen. I'm biased here. Josh Allen's my second favorite quarterback in the league. Was second favorite player to watch in that position. But yeah, I think you'd have to have a discussion about it. You know, Bob's brought it up. We've all talked about it. The devalue of winning is a little frustrating, though, and I know that team is terrible. That defense is absolute Swiss cheese, and that's even a compliment for them. That's generous, but winning does matter. Like, that New England game, week one, like, Joe Burrow could have won in that game. Like, you know, this last game against, who was it they were facing this weekend, Dusty? Close game, Bengals and
Denver.
Yes, OT. Exactly. Bengals, Broncos, OT. Mm. That game shouldn't have gone to OT.
No.
The Bengals could have taken more time off the clock with their offense. But instead they decided to score in 2 minutes because that's what they do. They score 30, 40 points. It's awesome. What the Chiefs do is they score 26 and they take a 10-minute drive to end the game. You don't get the ball back.
Because Josh Allen won this week 40-14 against the Jets, and his numbers dropped in the MVP category.
Yeah, a lot.
And that was a sound win, 40-14. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yet he loses and his odds double when he loses to the Rams.
And now he's minus 300, Lamar Jackson plus 225. Patrick Mahomes plus 1,500.
It's a recency bias award, man. So I think you're right. I think if Joe Burrow goes out and has a game against a playoff team in Pittsburgh, a division rival, to get his team in the playoffs, that is going to work wonders in his favor. Man, Josh Allen, he's going to get this stolen from him.
Well, then he's got to return the chains. His offensive line bought him an MVP chain.
Oh.
Did you see that?
That happened?
Over Christmas.
Wow.
They bought him a chain of a jersey that says Allen, and on the back it says MVP.
Oh.
Did you consider Brett from Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a damn fool?
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
From the 620, this was definitely not the toughest year ever. The only teams above average are the Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Vikings, Eagles. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Above average.
Which
he just named the best teams in the league. Those are elite teams. Those are elite teams, 620.
What did we say earlier? There's 11 teams with at least 10 wins.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Chargers aren't above average? Denver Broncos? LA Rams?
Yeah.
Really? The Green Bay Packers aren't above average? Yeah.
Do you think Saquon gets it this weekend? Because they could still, couldn't they technically still get the one seed? Like, if Minnesota loses, would Detroit get it automatically? So is the one seed decided?
I think the one seed's decided.
Okay. And so they could stick at the two seed. But he needs, 105 yards, I think, to beat Dickerson's record.
Yep.
If Saquon breaks the record, does he get it? You want to know what his odds are to win MVP?
Oh, God. What is it?
Well, his odds to win Offensive Player of the Year, minus 5,000.
Woo!
I think it's like minus 500, actually. And Rookie of the Year, offensively, I think it's gone. I think they took it off the books this morning. Yeah, Jalen Daniels is not even available.
Yeah. You shouldn't. Yeah, that's fair. It's done.
Yeah. Last night was it. So we scroll over here. Awards. MVP, Josh Allen, minus 300. Lamar Jackson, plus 225. Burrow, 1,600. Saquon Barkley, plus 1,600.
Okay, so he's tied with Burrow.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes is plus 40,000.
What?
Plus 40,000 for Patrick Mahomes. That's a 4-4.
It's like 18 touchdowns and 3 picks in the last 9 weeks or something.
Stop it. It's a season award.
Yeah, my fault.
You clown.
Jeez, man.
Kevin O'Connell, minus 1,000. Coach of the Year, Dan Campbell, plus 650. Andy Reid, plus 900. Andy Reid can backdoor cover that Coach of the Year.
So
if Detroit beats Minnesota and Andy Reid and the Chiefs beat the Broncos and go to 16-1, Andy Reid will backdoor cover that Coach of the Year.
He will.
Because how could, I mean, because then fear of getting it wrong, the NFL, which they don't care. Fear of getting it wrong. He doesn't get it. They still go 16-1, and they win a three-peat, never been done before, and you got to look yourself in the mirror and be like, we didn't give it to that guy.
We didn't give it. Yeah.
Well, what did he overcome? Where do you want me to start?
Exactly. Exactly. What does this award mean?
Start of the year out at plus 5,000.
Is it plus what now? For
plus four? No.
Plus 550?
No, he's at plus 900.
Plus 900. Okay.
Plus 900. Okay. Third All in right. the pecking order.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think.
Because KOC jumped big last night's win over Green Bay to get the one seed.
As he should have.
But if he loses and Campbell wins, then their losses are kind of like, okay, do we now do we just say, we now have a dividing factor? Because right now, Kevin O'Connell, I would 100% say I have no argument. I would say that's fine. He's done wonders in Minnesota. But he did it last year, too. And no one wanted to give him any credit because Dan Campbell got all the credit. And now Dan Campbell, who could go play upset and win, it wouldn't be an upset. They're going to be favorites at home.
Probably. It'll be
like 1.5. I bet it's up available. I bet it's like 1.5, 2. Well, maybe not yet because they have to play tonight.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens tonight.
But yeah, I mean, Saquon, I mean, you could have an argument Saquon Barkley's your MVP. He could literally break the rushing record. That's been Eric Dickerson's before I was a thought or a glimmer in an eye. And literally doing it without Jalen Hurts for two games.
Yeah. Yeah, he's won them a couple of games. He should be higher up on that list. It's hard. It's only a quarterback award. That's what it is. You know, and Saquon's going to win Offensive Player of the Year, as he probably should. Mm-hmm. But Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, and he's going to win Triple Crown. He's not even getting a look. No. It's a tough award year. You know, Comeback Player of the Year, you mentioned Joe Burrow is probably going to win it. Sam Darnold should probably win that award. I mean, he came back.
And I think this is the problem that people are like, we'll hold on to it. Because somebody has a text on here, and then I'm going to address why I think it's the problem with the award. Plus, we'll get into what else we're going to get into, which is the wide receiver rookie class, because it's disgusting. I'll explain to the top text that we had on the other side. 96 by the Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Diving right back into it, I said I want to get to this text that we got about the Coaching of the Year Award. Love to have everybody involved in the show. Whether you agree, whether you don't, you are a part of us. That's the way I look at this. From the 816, Kevin O'Connell is doing it with Darnold. Best coaching job by far. Andy is doing it with Pat, expected. So this is the problem with the theory in this award. Andy Reid was not expected to go 15-1. Andy Reid was not expected to go undefeated at home. Andy Reid was not expected to go 6-1 versus playoff teams. And again, Kevin O'Connell was not expected to make Sam Darnold look like Joe Burrow. And I'm not discrediting, but that's the problem with this award and the thought process of it. Again, the text, Kevin O'Connell is doing it with Darnold, best coaching job by far. Andy Reid is doing it with Pat Mahomes, expected. At what point do you have to remind yourself that Rashee Rice goes down? Hollywood Brown didn't play until week 15. Your starting running back went out. Your left tackle went out. Your number two cornerback went out, and you still went 15-1. That's not expected. And it's what everybody said. If Andy Reid is going to win the Coach of the Year award, he's got to do something that really we haven't ever seen. He had a bye week in week 6. You're on the coattails of winning a three-peat, never been done, and you went 15-1. And you did have injuries. And you went 15-1. So again, that's the problem with the award, is that you think just because he has Mahomes, he should win 10 games every year. Andy Reid, 11-6. Everyone's like, oh, and to be fair, is this statistically Mahomes' worst year he's ever had as a starter?
Yes.
Not expected. And still went 15-1. So the theory into that is what's wrong with the league. Because they pick and choose he's doing it with Darnold. Well, Andy Reid went 15-1 with the starting quarterback who's having the worst statistical season of his career.
Yeah, without his weapons, without a left tackle.
That's the problem. Yes, Kevin O'Connell is great.
He's amazing.
And what he's done this year is fantastic. But it's not 15-1. It's just, it's not.
And can we stop acting like And I know that's easy for me to say. I'm a Sam Darnold truther. I was the only one on these radio waves saying, hey, Sam Darnold's actually good. It's going to be a good season for the Vikings. Watch out. Kevin O'Connell's awesome. Sam Darnold's a former first-round pick, top five pick. This is a guy who's got an insane amount of talent and arm strength and has never been around a team. He went to the freaking New York Jets. Okay, it's the worst organization in football, okay? So let's yes, Kevin O'Connell deserves a lot of praise. But also, Sam Darnold. The Jets deserve a bunch of hate, and Sam Darnold deserves praise for being able to overcome getting out of the Carolina Panthers and the New York Jets trash organizations and lifting himself up to be the player that he truly can be. That's the other side of the story here. It's not Kevin O'Connell making Bailey Zappi some star, okay? Sam Darnold is better than people gave him credit for, and he's showing that to you.
Yeah, I mean, and this text, a little harsh, but same ideology. Sam is only good because he has weapons. He can't do anything with less. I don't think Kevin deserves it. Deserving it is I don't want to say that, because he does deserve the honor.
But yeah,
again, But again.
Agreed.
Right? Like, Mahomes' top two receivers for most of the year was a rookie who weighs 140 pounds
yeah.
and two veterans. Juju Smith-Schuster, who, what was he in New England?
He was cut.
Then he comes here, coaching, quarterback. I don't know. I look, and whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing. And Bryson, my buddy, who joins the show this morning, glad to have you for the first time in a long time. Saquon deserves it. It's the same thing. Like, if Andy Reid had to do something egregious and win 15 games or 16 games, whatever it is, and doesn't get it, how does a guy who breaks the rushing record and carry their team with the inconsistencies they've had in and outside the locker room just plus 9,000? That's a valuable player. That's a coach of the year. So, again, when you use that ideology, that's the problem with the award. Because you're like, well, that's Mahomes. Well, let's take the argument. He's done something with Sam Darnold. Andy Reid's going 15-1, and his quarterback, the Almighty, statistically is having his worst career yet. So, somebody says also they went through three kickers. I mean,
three kickers,
add it up. And
two,
again, and
two top corners.
And I understand it. I got a lot of heat for it. Lombardi's the only trophy that matters. Thank you. I understand that. But again, it's nice. Every once in a while, for somebody to pat you on the back and say, hey, man, you deserve this. Excellent award. You know, it's nice to hear that. I don't need to be told every day from Specter to be like, hey, dude, 8 o'clock, nailed it. Love that topic. Thought it was great. I don't need to hear that every day. But damn, once in a great while, I get a text or an email that's got all this tagged, and it says, hey, by the way, 9 o'clock was great. Thank you. Andy Reid, 16-1. Better luck next year. I don't know. The MVP race and the head coach thing, I could talk until I'm sick. Josh Briscoe will join us here at 8. We'll bring up some of that topic with him.
You're at 9, yeah.
Or 9, I'm sorry. We're already past 8 o'clock. Holy smokes.
It's going quick.
This year's wide receiver rookie class.
Ooh.
Pretty damn good.
God, man.
This is from Field Yates.
Okay.
Now, one of these guys isn't a wide receiver, but it says, for the first time in NFL history, 4 rookies have all reached 1,000 receiving yards. Brock Bowers, Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey. The 2024 draft class is special. How do we rank these? Because I don't think there's a wrong answer here.
I don't either.
Now, I'm going to go against the curve, and I'm going to say the number one receiver, in my opinion, is Brian Thomas Jr. as a rookie. I look at his team, I look at his quarterbacks, and I look at his coach.
And he's still producing.
And he's still balling.
Still producing.
Like, you put him on the Chiefs, I have to wear underwear. Ladd McConkey, I thought, was the guy. I thought that's the guy I'd love to see in a Chiefs uniform as a receiver that still I've seen this year. We'll still love it. Number 7, Brian Thomas Jr. on this team.
Electric.
I mean, any team, clearly, because of Jacksonville. And that team, that rookie class. And by the way, no Xavier Worthy mention when they talk about rookie receivers. Dude's starting to ball. Now, these guys have done it all year, right? Malik Nabers looked great yesterday with Drew Lock, my guy. Coming in there and ruining a franchise for another 5 years.
Screw your first round pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're picking sixth. I saw somewhere the other day, Shedeur Sanders was minus 150 to go number one overall, and Travis Hunter was plus 900. New England right now, I think, has the number one pick.
Yeah, they do.
They're not taking Shedeur Sanders.
No.
They're taking Malik, or they're taking Travis Hunter.
Yeah, that or a tackle. That's what they'll do.
Yeah. So.
So you've got Brian Thomas one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to count Brock Bowers. He's not a receiver. He's a tight end.
I'd put him one. Yeah.
Right. I mean, dude's nuts.
He's already the best at his position.
I would go Brian Thomas Jr. I would go Ladd McConkey because I think that's what Herbert needed, and you're seeing the success that LA's having with Jim Harbaugh. I was wrong about that team, by the way. And then I'm probably going Malik Nabers. And look, that's – I'll listen to anybody. But
are
I mean
– Are you going off of this year or what you think for their career as
I
far
think,
as –
I what I've seen.
From what you've seen.
Yeah. Because if you can do it with Mac Jones – Trevor Lawrence, and then half of Trevor Lawrence, and then a Doug Peterson coach that's so far checked out.
Yeah.
And you're putting those numbers up when it doesn't matter. It means you're all about the game.
Yeah, Christian Kirk's been out. They have no one on offense. He's the only guy. He's getting doubled.
Yeah.
He's working through it.
Evan Ingram's been out all year.
Yep.
So it's...
It's intermediate. It's short. It's the long
reminds
game.
Reminds me a lot of Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. And the yards after the catch like JJ, too. He's a menace with the ball in his hands. He's fantastic. He does it on all three levels like JJ. Yeah, I actually don't hate the comp, which I normally would with one like that.
Same school, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brian Thomas would be one for me. Nabers would be two, and then I'd put Ladd three. But I'm not mad. Like you said, there is no wrong answer here. My big thing is, man, we vaulted up Marvin Harrison Jr. for months, years.
Could be a Kyler thing.
I agree. That was my next question. He's not going to get the 1,000 mark. He is close. I'd have to look. He's in the 800s, I think.
Uh-huh.
So unless he has a great game, he'll end with 1,000 yards. But, yeah, are you pinning that on, okay, we overestimated this guy because of his last name, or are you saying, yeah, Kyler...
Scores a lot of touchdowns, doesn't get a lot of yards.
Yeah,
so yards. I think that's kind of on your quarterback. Because if you're getting open in the end zone where it's tough to score in the red area, and you're not getting the ball throughout the game, that's... Your quarterback. I think I have to come to my senses with Kyler. I think it's a Kyler problem.
Yeah, I know.
Because, let's put Marvin Harrison Jr. in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
And Baker's not, top five, top 10.
Top 12, top 10 for sure.
Kyler Murray's below the top 15.
Yeah. He's below Baker. I know that. I don't know about, no, yeah, he's probably, yeah. Damn, below 15 would be tough. I don't know.
You get into the Stafford, you get into Stafford range.
Oh, Stafford.
You get into Darnold range, right? Because I mean, your top seven are probably solidified.
Yep.
You're taking CJ over Kyler.
Yeah.
Right. So you get down in there, and you're like,
yeah, Love and Herbert, and
Love looked bad last night, by the way.
He looked bad for three quarters, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Xavier Worthy, little nugget here, 59 receptions. 638 yards. That's a 10.8 average. 6 touchdowns. 9 total when you count the three rushing. And this is
you waking up, man. This is
just like Rashee Rice last year.
Yes. And right when those weapons come back, Hopkins fully integrated, playing a little bit more snaps. Hollywood Brown, he comes back. Travis Kelce looking like himself. The covers out.
Yeah, Hopkins off the Ferrari. And Juju are running the secured Rashee Rice route.
Yeah, possession receiver, I'm going to move the chains routes. Yep.
3rd and 5, I need a trusted hand to catch this and go forward because I know Travis can be double covered.
And then Hopkins. Dude, there's been so many games in so many days. I think it was the Pittsburgh game, that little sideline for 10 yards toe tap catch.
Mm-hmm.
On this. I think that was the Pittsburgh game.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible. It was incredible. The timing from Hopkins to Mahomes.
I think it was Houston.
Was it the Houston game? Yeah. Okay, that sounds more right.
Because it was
yes.
at home.
Yes, it was at home. That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That toe tap, perfect timing on the sideline.
It was like...
Yes, it couldn't have been any better. And
that's great.
They've been together for 6 weeks. That's another guy who I'd look at and say, hey, man, what do you think? One year? One more year? What do you think?
Yeah. And I think you look at Hollywood Brown, you're like, hey, man, one more year?
Yeah.
At least one?
Come on.
1 year extension? Let's miss the whole year? You get even more money if you do this again next year.
Think about this offense, a whole season, healthy. Think about it.
Oh yeah. Ooh. Plus, you got to think there might be a suspension still coming. I don't know if Rice does.
I'd assume so.
You'd have to think that could still be there.
Probably first half of the season. Yep.
Hollywood Brown looks good.
He looks great.
Xavier Worthy looks great. By the way, it's January. Coming up on the other side, our guy Josh Briscoe will join us here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.